for.
Study day, the Torah, Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Well, Hashem, this time I remember to come. Thank you, Simcha, last time for calling me. That was a bit awkward. Okay. I want to go back to what we were discussing last time, and if we have time, we'll hopefully discuss one other shayla that came up over Pesach. A shayla that I refer to friends of mine as what I call the most Jewish question I've ever dealt with. But we're going to get to that soon. So let's go back to the question that we started with. And that was, we're buying something, shalai ba'al olam, buying something that is not here yet, or may not be here yet. You went to whoever it is that is taking care of the matzahs, and you ordered, you got one of those these papers, they come in all the shuls, they stick them on the notice board, you pull out a paper, and you buy, you know, kamias matzahs, whether it's Rashi or Rasham. I've heard people say, I know who Rashi is, who's Rasham? Yeah, okay, it's a misunderstanding, that one. Rachaim Shalyah, Rachaim Shemachoyna, you know, Rashi in this instance is not referring to our Godel Shebegidoylem, but it's referring to Rachaim Shalyah. But you went and you wrote down your Rashi or Rasham matzahs, and you handed the guy the paper. You come back a few weeks later, and guy says, I've run out. You said to him, what do you mean? I made an order. That was the whole point. I ordered something. You need to give me the item. He says, I don't have any more. He says, well, go get more. I don't want to go get more. What's the halacha? Can you or can you not be mechayev a person to go and to get more of this item? So in order to understand this, let's go through a few halachas over here in Shulchan Aruch to try to work through it one thing at a time. And then once we work through it, we'll see where we're up to with this halacha. So, number one, and I think we started on this a little bit last time, but you know, I'd like to repeat in case either A, somebody wasn't here previously, or B, somebody hasn't remembered, because I don't remember what everybody else says either, or what I say for that matter. So we start with, makna davar shaloi ba'al olam. The halacha is, can you be makna a person something which is shaloi ba'al olam? Okay, we'll have to discuss soon whether or not these matzahs are considered shaloi ba'al olam, or shaloi ba'al olam, but let's start with the first thing. To start at the beginning, a person cannot be machnas something that they don't have yet. Okay? And therefore, the halacha says, he brought in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say, for example, you're standing by a field, and you own this field, and somebody comes to you and says, you know, this is a great field. This makes great produce every year. He says, yeah, I'm very proud of it. It's my field. He says, well, I'd love to buy the produce. He says, okay, I'm selling you today, you have a field that's not growing anything yet whatsoever, I'm selling you today all of the produce that this field is going to make. Are you mechuyev to keep your part of the bargain and to give him all the fruits, or is he mechuyev to buy those things from you? If he decides, and then you know what, I just had a good property deal that's come up, so why should I put this money into fruit when I could put the money into property? I'm buying the property instead. So he comes to you and says, I'm very, very sorry. You know, it was a good deal. I appreciate the fact that you were willing to sell it to me. Lemais, I found something else that I'd rather do. Can anybody pull out? Either the moicher or the koiner. So the halacha says, yes, you are allowed to pull out. And the reason is because you're being sold something shaloi bol olam. You're being sold something that doesn't really exist yet. These fruits, for all intents and purposes, are something in the future. They don't exist yet. And therefore, you can't buy something that doesn't exist. The kinyan is not chal. Now, if at a later point in time they still want to go ahead and they still want to do the business, fine, Mercedes will do the business. But I'm not mechuyev to go through with the business. Under normal circumstances, the halachas that apply to people when they buy items and when they sell items. There's halachas of kinyan, there's halachas of mishapara, there's what we call in English law offer and acceptance. Once you go through that stage, the halacha is you mechuyev then to, you're mechuyev to go through with it. So if I told you I was going to sell you something and you gave me money for it, then the halacha is that if I want to take it back afterwards, I would get a mishapara for that. Chazal said we don't want people just taking back different sales. So Chazal put in, you're allowed to take it back because the kinyan didn't happen yet. However, we make a curse, it's called a mishapara, on a person, mishapara, manchadah amal, manchadah balogo, the one who paid off the people of the Dar Mav and the Dar Aflogo, who also the Pura Mimisha and Oimer Bidiburai, he's also going to give it to the one that doesn't keep his word. So it is considered a very, very. I'm sorry?
Would that supply, like I made an offer on a house, no money's changed hands, but now I'm deciding to buy it for that?
So Mishabar does not apply when you've made an offer on the money and you've not exchanged anything, because at the end of the day, that's only an offer. Okay? There is a big discussion over here about Mechusar Amana or not. that, and we'll have to, that's beyond the subject for today, but there is a concept that's called that a person lacks trustworthiness. So you walk into a person and you say to him, I want to buy your house. He goes, okay, how much you want? I said, call it £100,000, very cheap house, or it's a flat, whatever, I'm buying it, fine, you made the offer, you accepted it, and then 2 or 3 weeks later you come back to him and say, you know, I've thought about it, I don't want the house. He says, what do you mean? But I've had other people come and look at the house and make me offers and et cetera. And I said, no, you're buying it and I've given it. So I've now lost out on potential sales. The halacha is you're still able to pull out of it because that's only as mechusha amana. You've only given your word. And, you know, the question or not whether that makes you a... No, it doesn't make any difference. You know, and very much is considered the norm within our society to make offers and to pull out offers. It's very, very normal. I think if you speak to estate agents, they will tell you 1/3 of all sales don't go through. I think that's the figure. And so, you tell me, I don't know, is that correct? 1/3 of all sales? Yeah? That's why I've been told 1/3 of all sales don't go through. So if you say 1/3 of all sales don't go through, for estate agents, when somebody says the sales falling through, for them it's like, what else is new? It's 1 in 3. So that's quite normal. So you have the halacha is you cannot be koine adavar shelo ba'ala olam. You're not koine it, and he doesn't owe it to you, and you don't owe it to him. And there's different ways that this would show itself, either with a field, or you have a behema, or sometimes even there's discussion over here about a Yerusha. If a person says, I'm going to sell you my Yerusha, whatever I get from somebody, again, that being pretty presumptuous. Oftentimes the people make all these presumptions about Yerushas, and many times they're just not true. You don't know what's coming to you and what's not coming to you, and what the parent has or hasn't decided to give to you. But, you know, be that as it may. So there again, that's a davar shelo ba'olam. It's not yours yet. Belongs to the parent. You don't know that the parent has not put in a different clause to give everything to a certain tzedakah or to change around the yerusha, etc., etc. You can sell something shelo ba'olam. That is the first halacha over here, and that's sort of the introduction to this whole thing. Okay? However, I mean, there is a halacha that says if you sell the rights to something, you can sell ilon lepeirosa of a par of a shifla leubrayim. If you sell a right to something and you're selling this item already, then that does exist. So if you're selling a specific set of crops that doesn't exist yet, that's davar shelo ba'olam, you won't be koine. If you're selling the right to something for, like, you know, you're leasing the crops of something, that you'll be able to do. That is considered that it is ba'olam. Okay, that is part one of this. Now, what happens in the next instance if I want to sell something that I don't have yet? So I say to you, you know what? I'm hopefully going to China, and when I go to China, I'm going to be finding the prototype, and we're finding XYZ, and I want to sell it. I want to bring it into the UK. I'm going to find a way to get it registered over here, and I'm going to start selling these things. So your friend says to you, that sounds an amazing idea. I've needed an XYZ that you're trying to bring in. I've needed that forever. What a great idea. What a great business. I'll be your first customer. Okay? In that instance, is that considered dava shalai balaylam? Is it considered dava shalai balaylam? Because you could say, well, all I have to do is I have to go to China, I have to buy the item, and I have to bring it back. That's all I need to do. So, therefore, maybe it's considered balaylam already. On the other hand, you could also say, no, it's not considered balaylam. And the reason it's not considered balaylam is because you don't have it yet. So, the halacha paskins over here, the other thing, which is interesting, is dava shalai balaylam. This is in Simon Reish Test Sif Hey in the Shulchan Aruch Chosh Mishpat. Davar shelo ba'olam, so it exists already. It's not like the fruit. The fruit that we mentioned originally, it hadn't even grown yet. So that literally it's davar shelo ba'olam. But here you have a davar shelo ba'olam. It actually does exist. You want to go and buy it. El she'ena b'shusoi, but it's not yours at the moment. Dinoi ki davar shelo ba'olam shelo kono. V'yachol galach mem nachso boi. Okay? That is, you know, that is a very important thing to mention over here also, that if you have something that you are planning on buying and then selling on, so long as you don't have the item yet, it's still considered davar shelo ba'olam. It's not mine. So I plan on buying a diamond and then selling it on. But, you know, what could happen is that the person selling me the diamond is not willing to, you know, he suddenly got a better offer, and he says to you, Simcha, it was very nice of you, but I'm selling it to somebody else. So
it's not shelo ba'olam, shelo b'shisa.
So it's interesting that that's what the chiddush over here is, that for you that's still called davar shelo ba'olam. That means it's not yours. You don't have any shlita of it. So since I don't have any shlita of it, as far as I'm concerned, shelo ba'olam, I'm not mechuyev lahashlim the tnai. That's the main thing. Am I mechuyev lahash? So you might say, well, it is ba'olam. Okay, maybe you call it Bala Olam. But as far as my relationship as the sale is concerned, it's considered Loi Bala Olam as far as I'm concerned. Because I don't have it. Because I'm just saying, I'm going to buy X from so-and-so and I'm going to sell it to you. So-and-so might not sell it to me. He might want to sell it to somebody else. He might not be interested in selling it. The price that he's asking for it might be too high. There's a lot of reasons why sales fall through. I think one of the problems that we have, I've heard this from a lot of people, they say one of the problems that people have, Yiddish people especially, is we're real believers and we know we have a munnah, but we also, like, you speak to people, almost anybody who's going into business says, this is going to make a fortune. You never speak to somebody going into business and say, like, you know, yeah, I'm going to make business, I'm going to lose money, whatever. He says, I'm going to buy this, it's going to go up tremendously, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to be a millionaire, and within 2 years, I'll be a millionaire. Yeah, and you see him 2 years later, he's mamish and time cheshabas chasoshom. Say, what happened? Well, this didn't work out, that never got out. I thought it was good. Yeah, you know what? That's life. That's business. Business isn't everything being rosy. We have very, very rose-tinted glasses often with business. I'm going to go into this. I'll make a fortune. What do you know about it? You don't know about it. You don't know how to do it. You don't know how to buy it. You don't know how to sell it. It's not like that. And so the same thing is true over here. That's why Shaloi Bala Olam. I'm going to buy this item off Yana and I'm going to sell it on to you. You're not guaranteed that Yana is going to sell you this item. You're not guaranteed that this is going to work out for you. And therefore, as far as you're concerned, it's called Dover Shaloi Bala Olam. And therefore, if you pull out, you pull out. If he pulls out, he pulls out. Nobody's mechuyev lahashlim tnoi is to keep the tnai over here, because as far as they're concerned, that's considered Shaloi Bala Olam. However, pardon?
It's not by the Bar Bishus or by the Adam, but the guy ordered it from him, and he's going out specifically.
So that would be different. That would be, you know, listen, if you're, you know, if you're in cloth, right? So someone comes to you and says, I need so and so many rolls of cloth, I need such and such a color. So you go, okay, we're saying, like, I don't have it now, but I got my supplier in China, whatever else it is, I'm going to get it from them, I'm going to get it back. You bring it back, he says, aha, Dover Shaloi Bala Olam, you didn't have it, I don't have to keep my order. Of course he does, because he ordered it from you. And you went out and you bought it especially for him. But if you know that you don't have it, and you say to him, listen, I'm looking to go to China to buy, you know, such and such a white cloth. And he says, if you get it, fine, I'll buy it off you. So then you might go out to China and see that, well, the guy's not willing to sell it, or the price he's willing to sell it at, it's just not kenai. I'm not going to make a profit. I'm not going to be able to turn it. So then you can pull out. But if the guy made an order by you, so then that's what we're coming to now. What happens if a guy made an order? So then, really, if he makes an order, he's mechuyev to keep the order. Yeah? He's mechuyev to keep the order, you're mechuyev to give him the order. You're mechuyev to go out and find it. We'll see in a minute. That was the question. What happens if it's not available? So that was the question. You order, you come to me as matzahs, and the guy says, I've run out. Don't have any kumimis matzahs. You can have other matzahs, or you can have your, you know, you can go find somewhere else. He goes, no, but I ordered matzahs, so get me my matzahs. He says, I don't have. Is he now mechuyev lahashlim es tnoi? Does he have to go out and fulfill the order? Does he not have to go out and fulfill the order? Okay? But if he's ordered from you and you've gone out to China, you've gone somewhere to buy this stuff for him, he can't just pull out. He's mechuyev to fulfill the order because he's made the order. You bought it because of him. Otherwise, everybody can stab each other in the back. I'll make any order I want to with you and then I'll go somewhere else. If I make an order with you, I sign on the order, I'm mechuyev to give you the order. Okay? But chances are, I mean, I don't know how you run your business, but chances are that if I made an order for a certain amount of money and if it was substantial enough, you would take some kind of payment ahead of time also. There must be a deposit. What's the deposit? 10%, 50%, whatever it's going to be. You know, totally each one. So not also that makes the, that's part of what makes the sale over here. Here, by the matzahs, there was no deposit. You just go to the person, you put in your order, and you're very upset because they've run out of your matzahs. You're not matzahs. Okay? So, that's what he says over here. However, he does continue on and he says, the Ramah says something very important. Mikol mokim im torach ha-moicha ve-kon ha-dova she-mocha right? If he then, the moicher went and did his utmost and got the item, you have to mekai in the mekach. You can't pull out on him. So you said to him, I'm planning to buy such and such a diamond. And he said, okay, you buy the diamond, I'll buy it off you. The guy goes and he pushes really, really hard and he finally gets the diamond. And he comes to you and he says, nah, you didn't have it, dovash shabbat olam, finished. He says, no. You have to make kind of, why did I drive myself crazy to get the diamond off him? Because I wanted to make sure I don't put down my customers. I don't let them down. So now I finally got this diamond and you're going to pull out on me. That's not okay. So then he'll have to make kind of the mecha horse on the other side. That is halacha number two. And now we work up to our halacha. And this is an important halacha to know. and in general over here, and that's, it comes up, well, it comes up by Ribbis, it comes up in other places, and there's a shaila exactly where the basis of this halacha is, the machlokes and the Rishonim and what it is. We'll have to come back to that, but we'll see what he says. One Amazav says, HaPoisik al Shasha Bashuk. That's the next case over here. Let's say there is Tvua out, or there's apples out, or oranges, whatever it might be. There's a shuk of certain amounts of fruit, whatever it is, and you go and you make an offer on a certain amount, and you received money for it, and you didn't have them, and you didn't have the item by you. So it's a poisik hashar shabashuk. They kibul domid, and you receive the money ready. You didn't have it, but you were planning on buying it. So it's readily available. It's now the season of the wheat. And somebody comes to you, you're a wheat salesperson, and he comes to you and he says, I want to buy 100, 500 kilos of wheat. And you say, what's today's price? Today's price is X. And the guy gives you money. Okay, let's say it's a pound. Let's make it easy. And it's 500 kilos. So he comes to you and says, I'm buying 500 kilos of wheat. He hands you the 500 pounds, and you're ready to go. So what's the halacha? Chayev liknois velitin alekeach mashapasak. There, you're already mechuyev. So you say, I don't understand. We just said before that if you didn't have an item, so then you don't have to give it to him. If I'm planning on buying a diamond, I don't know if the guy's going to sell me the diamond or not. So there's a difference between a shar shebashuk, where you have this in abundance. It's not a one single item. This diamond I'm looking to buy, maybe the guy sell it to me, maybe sell it to somebody else. Once that's gone, it's gone. Shar shebashuk is, let's say there is wheat in the shuk. There's thousands, tens of thousands of kilos of wheat in the shuk. So you're planning on selling that on, and you're a person that deals in wheat, so then it makes sense. You're going to buy, somebody came to you, made an order for 500 kilos, you're going to go buy 500 kilos from your wholesaler, and then you give 500 kilos back to the guy that you're selling, and you make the profit, the difference between the two of them. That's just the normal way that sales happen. Many people don't actually keep stock of everything, but what they have is they have good suppliers, they will actually buy and sell on. So much so, I mean, I've once seen this, it's very strange I've seen this, but there are people that sell on eBay things that other people sell on Amazon, and when you order it with them on eBay, they get with Amazon Prime, they get it ordered to your house. You get a parcel from Amazon, you're like, I didn't order an Amazon parcel. It turns out that the guy knew it sells on Amazon for £10, and he sold it on eBay for £13, and he basically made those £3 on him having Amazon Prime. But you can do that. She said, but the guy didn't have it when he sold it to me. Okay, so listen, if he goes to this Amazon seller and the guy runs out, so I'll come back and say, I don't have it, I can't sell it to you. So here you took the money, there is a shuk, there's a market, there's wheat, and you say to the guy, he says, I want 500 kilos of wheat, and the guy takes your money, he's mechuyev now to go and to get you this wheat. Say, he doesn't have it. He says, no. That already a poisik a shah b'shuk. If you make a deal on something that is out in the shuk, then even if you don't have that min, since there is a shuk out there where it's readily available to be bought, you must go and you must get in this item. And if you don't, you get a mishapara. Because here already the fellow's paid you money, and you've reneged. You've reneged on your deal. So because you reneged on the deal, the halach is that you get a mishapara. Okay? However, the Rama does add over here a very important point, and comes from the halachas of Ribbis. If you're poisek imoy achal lo yotza ashar, if you made a deal with him and the shar had not yet come out, the harvest is not ready yet, then the mekach is nasa be'isur, because there's a question over here of Ribbis, and then you choyza boy ve'en mekach mishapara. There, because you made the deal, and the deal, you weren't really roy to make the deal at that point, it was awesome to make such a deal, therefore you're allowed to pull out of such a deal, and you don't get mishapara for pulling out of a deal, because it was awesome to make the deal in the first place. Okay? So that's aloha over here. So now, what happens if the item's not available? So the Sma and the Shach, they all speak about it. So the Sma says, "V'dafka im yodu u'motzei limkar sedaber b'shuk." If it's easy to get, v'oz afil yoda lekech shem yad amoicher. Even if he didn't know, then he has to keep. Since it's motzei liknois, it's chayv liknoisoi. Mashein kein kishein u'motzei b'shuk limkar. Then you're not mechuyev to do that. And therefore, what happens in our instance? You showed up by the guy, and you said to him, "I want my koyim mias matzahs." And the guy says, I've run out. So there would depend. If you've already given the money, so now you've already entered into a contractual obligation with the fellow. So now the fellow is mechuyev to go to his wholesaler and to try to get wheat from his wholesaler. He needs to get matzahs from the wholesaler. He calls on the wholesaler. He says, listen, I thought I needed 1,000 kilo. It turns out I had actually 1,100 kilos worth of orders. I need 100 kilos out from you. He needs to go, needs to chepper and pester his wholesaler. The wholesaler says, I don't know. I got the cost shop in London to supply it. And I got Gates. And he says, listen, I don't let my customers down. You got to push him to get those extra 100 kilos to fulfill those extra orders of matzahs. However, I'm sorry? Im kol zeh, but that already makes the... That's a question, what a deposit does. Okay, that's a good question. Depends if deposit means that that's like the tchilas payment and it counts, connected everything, or it's only connected what the money that you gave. But either which way, there'll be some form of mishapar over there because you have given some money, right? Even if it's not connected, the whole thing. So that will be the problem over here if you gave a, you know, if you give him money, so the halacha is the guy's mechuyev to go and try to find and get extra matzahs if he can. What happens if they're not available? What happens? He calls up the wholesaler and the wholesaler says, sorry, sold out. You know, every year in this country, they have one thing that runs out on Pesach. This year, for some strange reason, it was potato flour. Normally people have potato flour coming out of their ears. This year, for some reason, potato flour ran out. Okay, it's not like it's such a basic item for Pesach that it should run out, but you know, it's, I don't know why, that sometimes the most basic things run out. Well, some years they didn't have eggs. So you're like, did they not think before Pesach that people would need thousands and thousands and thousands of eggs? That they ran out. But for some reason they ran out. But if you run out, you call the wholesaler, and the wholesaler ran out of matzah. Sinishdu. So then the guy can come back to you and say, listen, I promised you the matzah based on the fact that there would be matzah. Right? I thought my wholesaler has loads of matzah. He's run out. If he's run out, you're not mechuyev to go to find more matzah. So, for example, let's say you're buying, let's give an example. You're buying your matzahs at 35 pounds and you're selling them at 45 pounds. You're making 10 pounds in the middle between the wholesale and what you're selling it at. Okay? In the shops, it's selling for 50 pounds. So, you're selling it cheaper than the shops, but you're still making 10 pounds on the wholesaler between one him and that. You went back to the wholesaler, you said, I need another 100 kilos of matzah. The guy says, I've run out of matzah. I don't have. So he says, you come back, you come to the fellow, he says, I paid you for 10 kilos of matzah, get me 10 kilos of matzah. He says, the wholesaler doesn't have any more. But the halacha says, you mechuyev to get me, go to Kosher Savers, or go to Halpern's and buy them there. So there the halacha says, you're not mechuyev to do that. Spoke about Dan Krauss, the young Dan Krauss, and he said to me, you're not mechuyev to do that. Because when I made the deal with you, I was poising on the shah shabashuk of which shuk? The wholesale shuk, not the retail shuk. The retail shuk has a different price. So you tell me, yeah, but in the retail shuk, it's still available to get these matzahs. That might very well be, even though in the retail shuk, they're still available to get these matzahs. But the maisa, I didn't mean to be poising on the retail. Because if I was buying in the retail shuk, knowing that I'm buying in kosher savers for 50 pounds, I would sell for 60 pounds. Right? I'm not going to buy for 50 pounds and sell for 45. That's a wonky business model. It doesn't work. Pardon? He has, even if he's given the money. He has given the money already. He says, even if you're giving me the money, so you bought 10 kilos, it's 45 pounds, you gave me 450 quid, I have your money in my pocket. So you say, go to kosher savers and buy it. No, but you understand that when you came to me to buy these matzahs, that I'm...
I gave him 10,000 pounds, that's what I understand. I gave him 10,000 pounds, I want my delivery, that's it. I think
right. So the guy's nama, so the halacha is he's nama, the reason why Poisek Shah Shabashuk is mechuyev to give it to you is because it's considered readily available. That's what's considered davar shebaal olam. It's readily available. But if it's not readily available, it becomes ois davar shebaal olam. So you tell me, yeah, but it is readily available in kosher savers. So that's, for me, that's not called readily available. Because that's available on the retail market, not on the wholesale market. I'm not mechuyev to go and buy retail to sell you wholesale prices. Okay, that I'm not mechuyev to do. That, you know, and that's the shah shebashuk. Not that I have to go now. See, the same thing is with the shuk. If the shuk runs out of wheat, do I have to go knocking from Reuven's door to Shimon's door to Levi's door? Can I get 10 kilos wheat of you? 10 kilos wheat, I'll put it together. But each guy's going to charge me a fortune because I'm buying 10 kilo wheat off him rather than buying 1,000 kilo wheat off the wholesaler. Not mechuyev to do that. If the shuk has, it has. If the shuk doesn't have, I'm not mechuyev to be oimer b'dibur. Now, what happens if you don't give money? So that's all if you gave money. What happens if you don't give money? So it would seem to me, I don't know if this is 100% correct, I'd have to double check with someone, but there's a machloikis, the Torah brings here machloikis, why a person's mechuyev to sell these items. Why is it? So he quotes, originally the Baal HaItter, and the Baal HaItter says that you're kind of, in this instance, there's a kinyan. Because the item exists, and because it is a wholesale item, and you know, the shuk come out, so there's a kinyan that happened already, right? Masha in kain. He quotes the Rosh. The Rosh comes at it from a different angle. The Rosh comes at it from an angle of Mechusa Amona. Right? He holds it still Davar Shalei Ba'olam. However, in this instance, because there's a shuk for it, he has to buy Shalei Mechusa Amona. So it could very well be that there will be a difference between the two of them in the instance where somebody gave the item. Somebody didn't give money for the item, but just ordered the item, and then the item isn't available. So according to the first side, he says, you didn't give any money, so there was no kinyan, there was no kinyan. But according to the second side, you could still say, yeah, but even if there was no kinyan, but you're still mechus amono. Because you made a promise, and then you never made a promise. But it could be that if you didn't give any money, there's no mechus amono. So I still need to look into that. I'll just... Yes. Yes.
There's a chance, because there's a finite supply of
yes.
once a year.
Yeah.
You know in your mind, so how I will be thinking, yeah, and that if I ever come a bit late, two days, a person, and it's not there anymore, shlemazel to me. Yeah.
Not necessary, because I made an order. If you come Erev Yom Tov and you expect the salesperson to have a grade A, you're right. So you're Shlomazel. Why did you show up on Yud Aleph Tishrei? But you ordered. So why he has to put one aside for you?
When I was a communist matter, yeah. If I'm negligent in leaving to the last moment, I know my mind is a finite supply. That's why everyone, you get in there early. It's very different. The Shmura matter, the Abba Minim, it's all along the same lines. Everyone knows when they order it, finite supply, make sure you get there nice and early. And if you get there late, it's not there, it's yours.
Okay, it could very well. If that is the understanding of the wholesaler and the salesperson. Look, the guy might say to himself also, I got 1,000 kilos of orders, I'm only ordering 950. Right? Because there'll always be some people that make orders and they don't show up. So he doesn't want to be left with now 100 kilos of matzah. What's he going to do with the next 100 kilos of matzah? So he might even say to himself, for every 1,000 kilos of matzah, I'm only ordering 950 kilos to make up for the 50 kilos worth of matzah, where the guy decided he's going to go abroad, or he's going to go to Shver, or he's not buying matzahs by me, or whatever, he got present of matzah somewhere else. So he might do that also. But everything has a finite supply. I don't think there's anything out there that has an infinite supply. And yet we say, when I order something, that exists in the shuk. On a finite supply, we assume that your job it is, because I've given you the money, to go and to get me this item. You can't just renege on it.
Yeah. Once a year, everyone, it's different than anything else. It's a once a year window.
But when there's a window, when the shuk is out. Right? If you come to somebody who's a wholesaler in Kislev and you say, I want matzah, he'll say, look, it's Kislev, what do you want from me? Right? But you're coming to him in Adar, you're coming to him in Nisan, that's the time when matzah is available. So that's the shuk of matzah. So I assume that when I made an order with somebody for matzah and I paid him money for it, that he's going to fulfill my order, go to the wholesaler and get me my matzah. If he didn't, he's negligent, he gets a mishapar for it. And the same with Abba Minim. If the guy makes an order and he gets an order for 1,000 Abba Minim ahead of time, and then on top of that he has all the people that come in, he needs to set 1,000 Abba Minim aside for all the people that pre-ordered, and then what's left can be bought by the people that are walking into the shop. But he can't allow the people walking into the shop to buy all the Abba Minim and then hand you back your money on Erev Yontov and say, you came Erev Yontov. So, but that's why I pre-ordered. That's why I called you already on, in Elul to say, my order, you know what I like, set it aside for me, I'm coming Erev Yom Tov to pick it up. Here's my card, take my payment. You've paid for it, you've ordered it, why should he give it away? But here the point is, you've paid for it, yeah? You've given the money and you've ordered it. So, and many people like to have the orders before and they like to have the money before, and so to know what to buy. Right? I don't want to buy but for many people, especially in sales, you're buying blindly. Because you're going to bring the stuff back. Will it sell? Won't it sell? Who knows? It's a very, very scary thing to do. Yeah. Yeah, so that's why it's different. So in the end, Lamaisi won't have to keep it for you. Rabbi said, we've run out of time. We're not going to deal with the other Shaila that we had. So we're going to leave it for now. Are we saying Kandish? Where is he, Rabbi? You're not saying. Who is anyone saying? Simchi saying? Finish, right? Right, Mishachai Maruchim. Rabbi Yisai, thank you very much. Have a good day.